2 Timothy 2. Hebrews chapter 4. I love the Bible. This is a Bible-believing church. We believe the Bible. We believe the old King James Bible is the Word of God. We believe it's perfect, inspired, exactly the way God wants it. We believe every word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick is an old English word. It means alive. It's a living book, that Bible you hold in your hand. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it says this, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Bible will discern what's in your thoughts up here and what's in your heart, what controls you. You read that Bible, spend some time in it. It's amazing. The Bible is the greatest book ever written on the human psyche. You want to know how a human being works and how they think and what's going on, I'll tell you how to do it. Get you an old King James Bible and read it. It'll tell you all about yourself. It'll tell you things you don't want to know, by the way. But it'll tell you all about it. In Acts chapter 18, the Bible never ceases to amaze me. I've been saved for 42 years. Come up, an old dope head that got saved, professing atheist. And when I got saved, got hooked up with a Bible, brother, it's never ceased to make me. And I never get dull of reading the Bible. It always feeds me. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Lord said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And this book will feed me. And look at Acts 18. Acts chapter 18. We'll pick it up, Acts 18, 1. It's amazing what's in this book. It's amazing. Acts 18:1 says this, and after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew there named Aquila, born in Pontus. Lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own hands. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. And I want to call your attention to two words it says, and when they opposed themselves. You know what we do most of our lives? Let's just be honest. You know what we do most of our lives? We spend most of our lives opposing ourselves. Amen. We spend most of our lives fighting ourselves and trying to get away with things that we know we shouldn't get away with, and we oppose ourselves. The Bible said in James chapter 2, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what we do a lot of our life? To him that knoweth to do good, we do it not most of the time. And most of the time our life, it's not the devil that beats us up. It's not the world. It's not the preacher. It's not so-and-so. It's not the spouse. It's not the ones we blame. But most of the time our problem is that we just oppose ourselves. We fight against ourselves. Oh, we go through a lot of things in life. We go through the depression. We go through oppression. We go through all these things, lazy, apathy. We go through bitterness, jealous. I mean, you just fill out the list. And most of the time, most of those things we get caught into, we get into them, Brother Brian, because we simply oppose ourselves and we know the right thing to do, Brother Dennis, but most of the time we don't do it. And we oppose ourselves. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. The 2 Timothy chapter 2. We fight ourselves. And we're good at it. We're good at it. We beat ourselves up. We oppose them. That Bible knows what's going on, don't it? That was written 2,000 years ago. And that's better than any psychiatrist or psychoanalyst you could ever go to. And they'd charge you $100. We're only going to charge you $50 on the way out for this. Brother Jeff, you collect it. Now, this is free. We done took up the offering. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in all men, have to teach, patience. And look at it, verse 25. It's talking about the preacher. It said, in meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him. He's talking about a Christian there. And you know something? When you oppose yourself, you know what? According to that verse, you're a sitting duck for the devil. It says those that oppose themselves that are taken captive by the devil at his will. And when you fight against yourself and you oppose yourself, friend, I want to tell you, you're a sitting duck for the devil. That's talking to Christians. You know, you think about a Christian, all that God's promised. The Bible says in Peter, there's given us exceedingly and great and precious promises. You know that you and I, if you're saved this morning and God is your Father, if you've been truly born again, if you've been saved, and you know something, God has given you a blank check. He's given you a lottery ticket, brother, that you can cash in. And most Christians never cash it in. They never go to the bank. They never go to the Word of God. You know what they do most of their lives? They oppose themselves. Some of you that way here. I preach since I've been preaching here for years, and I keep saying, read that Bible, get in that Bible, read it daily, pray, wait. And some of you are sitting there every time I'm saying that, opposing yourselves. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. But some of you resist it and fight it rather than just say, Lord, that joker's right. I need to read that Bible. And most of the time we get in trouble and we fall, and because we oppose ourselves, we know what to do, but we just fight against it. Somebody, we come up all kind of excuses. We say, well, I don't have my health, not that great preacher. I can't get out on the street. Listen, Fanny Crosby was blind when she was 6 months old and she wrote 9,000 hymns. What's your excuse? Tommy Tillman, 88 years old, is over in Thailand with lepers. Two of his daughters died unexpectedly in their 50s. His grandson died a few months ago, 30-something years old. His wife's an invalid in Nashville, and he's over there serving God. He's had 14 heart stents. He's got cancer. He's got heart problems. We came here one day. Every one of his teeth had been pulled out, Brother Dennis, the day before, and walked in here and preached with a big smile. What's your excuse? You see, we look for problems. You say, well, preacher, I don't have the education. I didn't have the upbringing. Listen, Earl Ankrum, they'll be preaching here about a week, grew up as a Satanist. He grew up in a family of warlocks and witches and prostitutes and crack addicts. He's got a fifth grade education. He made it to the fifth grade where they kicked him out. And listen, brother, he's been preaching for God for 20 years as evangelist. What's your excuse? You know what we do? We oppose ourselves. We come up with excuses and talk ourselves out of and come up with all kind of things. You know what doctors say a lot of times, and I've read this on the internet many times, and they'll say, to keep your health and everything, they'll say this, they say, listen to your body. Y'all ever heard that? Listen to your body. It'll tell you, it'll speak to you. And you know something, our body speaks to us a lot of times, but we don't listen and we oppose ourselves. God speaks to us a lot of time. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us in the service. And God speaks to you. And you know God's got your number. And you know what you do? You oppose yourselves. You don't oppose the Lord. And I'm going to give you just three quick things. I could give you a whole bunch of stuff this morning. How we oppose ourselves. Number one, and I want to say, this is where we get on lock. We oppose ourselves in denial. We like to float down the river of denial, they call it. You know what we do? We oppose ourselves when we deny the problems, deny the situations, and denial is one of the worst things you can do, because all it does, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Somebody said denial's not just a river in Egypt, it's a destructive force in all our lives. Amen. I got my amen on today. We need some amen classes. We've been kind of down here. Everybody try it. Now, when I lift this up, you know what this means? Say it. Amen. Amen. When I say this, what does that say?
Praise.
Okay. We might get through this thing before it's over with. I want to say there's denial. We get on and we float the river of denial. And we get around and float the lazy river of denial. And you know something? When we float that river of denial, we just keep putting things off and putting things off. Somebody said this. I was looking on the internet. It said denial is a river located in Egypt. Spelling it denial. It is not, however, the state of refusing to admit the obvious truth, despite what some misinformed people might tell you. Don't listen to them. It's a river. It really is. You know what that is? That's denial. That's denial. Country singer Pam Tillis has a song. I was looking on the internet. She said they call me Cleopatra because I'm the queen of denial. Amen. You know what some of you are? You're the queen and king of denial. And when you deny and go through the river of denial, you know what you do? You oppose yourselves. You don't oppose me. You don't oppose the Lord. You oppose yourself. I've seen Christians all over the place. You know, here's a joke. How did the Egyptian feel when he was drowning? How did the Egyptian feel when he was drowning? He was in denial. Amen. You know what's wrong? A lot of Christians are seeking Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis, he got it. Preachers get these jokes. Everybody else like. I need to get him to interpretate for you guys. You know why a lot of Christians sink and go down like it says there? They're in denial. They're in denial. And I've seen it a lot of times. I've seen Christians all over the place that just ignore everything and won't come up and confess, and they go through denial and they oppose themselves. I know a young lady right now. She don't go to this church, but I know her well. She goes to another church. And she's messed up on drugs big time. Prescription drugs. Big time. And I saw her about 6 months ago at Arby's on the way home. And I sat in my car, and she came up to me, and she didn't say, "Hello, Brother Terry." And first thing she said, she says, started jumping on people, or on her parents, and some of the people in church, saying, her church said, "They say I'm on drugs. I'm not on drugs." And buddy, she was so wired up, she could have floated around the moon that day. "I'm not on drugs." You know, it's funny when people go in denial, if everybody knows the truth, but they do. Everybody in that church knows what's going on with that young lady. But she won't admit it and won't get help. She's going to end up losing everything before she gets through in a Christian church. You say, "What's wrong, preacher?" They oppose themselves when they get in that state of denial.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
That's better. Denial. We go through denial. It's ironic how people deny the obvious and everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what's going on. I worked with a guy named Ray. And this guy, I worked with him for 10 years. He is one of the brightest, smartest, hardest working guys I've ever been around my whole life. Guy was brilliant. He is a lady at work asked him one day to go with her to Home Depot and pick up a piece of plywood, Brother Jeff, for. And he picked up the piece of plywood and he broke the muscle in his arm. I've never heard of that. He picked up that plywood and his muscle snapped. He said it sounded like a big rubber band. He went, boing. And he had to have surgery. And he had to wear this thing. It looked like a bionic arm, man, for about 6 months. This kind of thing. And during the time, this guy started taking prescription medication. Lortab, Percocet. And for long, he got addicted to that stuff. And for long, he had fallen asleep at his desk. I'd had to call him at night. He was a DBA, a database administrator for help. He had fallen asleep on me on the phone a lot of times. He wouldn't call me back. And everybody tried to help him. The company said, "Hey, let us try to get you in rehab, clean you up." And he kept saying, "I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems." And eventually lost everything before he got through. He's still in denial. But if you want to come clean, you know what? When you do that, you oppose yourselves. You know what Brother Earl Ankrum told me? He preaches every week. He's been preaching for 20 years. He said the number one problem in Bible-believing churches is prescription drug abuse. I know some. I was reading Sam Gibbs' book the other day. Sam Gibbs, an evangelist, been preaching about 30 years. When he's in Bible school, he fell and broke his neck. And he lives in pain every day. He's got a book called Living with Pain. I read it a few weeks ago. I've read it before. I picked it up and read it. In one part of that book, he says in there, he said, I've never taken a narcotic drug the whole time. And he said, by the grace of God, he said, I never will take one. He said, I've taken Tylenol, ibuprofen, and aspirin. He said, aspirin I take every day. I take it and take it and take it. He said, it helps better than anything. But he said, I've never taken a narcotic pill. He said, I've seen what it's done to people. And he said, by the grace of God, I'm not going to do it and oppose myself. You know what happens? When we get in denial, get messed up on stuff, and won't admit it, we oppose ourselves. And when you go through that denial, you know what eventually you'll do? You know what eventually happens? We deny the Lord. We deny the Lord. What happens eventually is we deny the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 18 and get Titus chapter 1 and get 2 Timothy 2. Acts 18, 2 Timothy 2, Titus chapter 1. When we deny our situation and we oppose ourselves and we keep denying it, you know what we do? We deny the Lord and we deny His ability to help us. That verse out there said, casting all your care upon Him on the board, for He cares for you. And some of you quote it and believe it, but you won't do it. And when you don't do it, you know what you do? You deny the Lord. And when you oppose yourselves, you deny yourself the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 6. It says this, and when they oppose themselves and blaspheme, you know what the word blaspheme means? I looked it up. It means it's an injury offered to God by, quote, denying what is due and belonging to Him. You know what belongs to God? Casting all your care upon Him. You know what belongs to God? Romans 8:28. And when you and I oppose ourselves and pray in denial and don't come up clean with the Lord, we deny the Lord. We say, well, God can't do this. God, you know what that is? That's blasphemy, friend. That's denying what God rightfully owns and what God could do. And when you oppose yourselves, Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says this. Titus 1:16, have you got it? It says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient. And he's talking about Christian people that said, I know God and I'm saved, but in their works they deny the Lord. And we oppose ourselves in the river of denial. We deny the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this one. Make sure you get to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this. We oppose ourselves. We in denial. We deny the facts, deny the truth. Some of you are not reading your Bible. You know it. And you know you should. There's no reason in the world not to be reading your Bible every day. None. And you know what you're doing? You're denying it every day and denying God and denying God's walk with you. You oppose yourself. You're not opposing me. I'm going to read mine. You're not opposing God. You're opposing. You're the one that gets the best benefit. Your family gets the best benefit. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Look at this. In meekness instructed those that oppose themselves. Watch it. If God preadventure will give them repentance, watch it, to the acknowledging of the truth. That verse said if you'll acknowledge the truth and quit denying and get right and do the truth, God will give you repentance. You know what repentance means? It means to turn from. It means a change. Some of you going through things in life, maybe depression, maybe oppression, maybe growth, maybe laziness, maybe bitter, maybe jealous. You know what you need to do is, number one, acknowledge the problem and give it to God, and maybe God will give you the repentance, victory over that. You know what you do when you float in the river of denial? You just keep floating down that lazy river. That Bible says the acknowledging of the truth. But you know what a lot of people want to do? They don't want to acknowledge. Notice what it says. Acknowledging, I-N-G. The word knowledge means to know. Knowledge just means know. When you acknowledge something, that's when you take ownership of it acknowledge means, yeah, I know it, and I'm going to do something with it. And when you put the ing on the end of that word, it makes it an action verb. That's what it means. And that means if you're going to take action by acknowledging the truth, God, a preadventure, might give you victory and repentance over that deal. But you know what most Christians do? They oppose themselves. They won't acknowledge the truth, will they, Brother Dennis? He's been preaching. You know what I'm talking about? I got a good friend of mine, Dennis Hicks. He's an old timer. He's maybe home with the Lord by now, old preacher up in Indiana. I heard him teaching years ago, Brother Dennis, in a Sunday school class at a big old revival years ago in Ohio. And he's an old country preacher, been around a long time. He got up there, and I'll never forget it. He said, you know, I don't counsel people no more. He said, I quit counseling. I quit doing that. He said, because you know what I found out? He said, I found out, number one, they know what to do. And I found out, number two, they're not going to do it anyway. So it's wasting time. They asked Brother Roloff one time. They said, a lady came to Brother Roloff. She said, Brother Roloff, I need counseling. He said, ma'am, I'll be happy to counsel you. She said, okay, Brother Roloff, when? He said, how about Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? She walked away, turned back around. She said, well, Brother Roloff, that's when you're preaching. He said, that's right, I do all my counseling from the pulpit. I'm going to tell you, brother, when you get on the river of denial and get out of that thing, I'm going to tell you, you'll get stuck in that thing. The first thing when you oppose yourself, number one, you go down the lazy river of denial. It's like on an old river creek. You ever got on an old river creek and got on an old inner tube? I have. And just laid on that thing, fat and lazy, just floating down that old creek, down that old river. That's like denial. You just lay out that old inner tube and just float and float and float and float. But I'm going to tell you, before long, the rapids are going to show up. And that inner tube, denial, it won't survive. First thing is, you oppose yourself when they go into a state of denial. And the second thing is they go into a state of delay. They'll say, okay, preacher. Okay, you got me. I'm hit. I need to read my Bible. I need to be more faithful in church. I need to be here Sunday morning for Sunday school. I need to be here Sunday night. I need to hear me. I know you got me, preacher. I know I'm hit, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. That's the key. Tomorrow. I know I need to read my Bible. I know I need to do all that stuff. I know, preacher, and I'm going to do it. You hit me, and I'm going to do it. First thing tomorrow. That said delay. Amen. We delay. And you know what? The days become weeks. And the weeks become months. And the months become years. And before long, you look back and there is nothing to show. There's no souls getting saved in your life. There's no Bible reading. I set up a yearly Bible plan back there. And I know some of you are reading it. And I know some of you are not. But if you were reading and you had started reading 3 chapters a day, about 15 minutes every day, that little bit, you'd be in Psalm 66 today, halfway through that Bible. But you delayed, and now you got it. You got a big old mountain to climb to Psalm 66. But if you'd have took 15 minutes a day in that Bible, you could have found it. You know what? You'd be in Psalm 66. You know what we do? We deny, and then we have to confess it. Then we say, okay, I'm under delay. And that little bitty problem, it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that little molehill is now a mountain. I'm just going to dig in your tater house now, like old Carl Lackey said. How many of you say, preacher, I need to go on a diet? I'd say a lot of us, amen. And you know, it's pretty easy to lose 5 pounds. That's a cut off a donut. Take a walk. And we say, boy, I need to lose that 5 pounds. And then you delay and you delay. And you know what? Before long, you get on the scale and it's 10 pounds. It's a little bit easy to owe 10. I've lost 40 before. 10's pretty easy. I mean, 10's not a big deal. And you don't do it, Brother Brian. I'm going to preach to him because he's thin. And Brother Brian, you delay and you get on there and it says 20 pounds. And it's 30 pounds. And for long, man, that mountain is so big, you would have to cut out eating for a year just to get down. But if you'd have started at 5 pounds, it would have been that easy. But you know what we do? We deny. And then when we get here, we say, oh, man, I got to lose some weight. My knees are killing. My hips killing. Man, that scale, I'm about to break it when I get on. I got to start. And I'm going to start, Brother Jeff, Monday morning. Monday. I'm going to start tomorrow. And you know what? The mystical, magical, mystery land of tomorrow never shows up. We delay. And you know what we do when we do it? We oppose ourselves. We don't oppose the preacher. We don't oppose your spouse. We don't oppose the Lord. We oppose ourselves when we just delay. You know, our preachers, you know what we try to do? We try to get you to come to the altar. We preach the message. And we say, come down here. And if God spoke to you, and get right with God and do something. Because you know what? If you delay, you delay, and you don't come, you know what you'll do? You'll forget it. We delay, and then we forget. We oppose ourselves when we deny. We oppose ourselves when we just keep delaying and delaying. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for it said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's one time you own, brethren, and it's right now. You can't go back and change the past. You can't grab hold of the future. There's only one time you've got now. And when you delay and delay, you lose that. You know what we do? We oppose ourselves and we delay. We get on the lazy river of denial. Then we snub down into the valley of delay and we just stay there and we oppose ourselves. We delay. Over in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, there's Pilate, Paul standing before Pilate, or Felix, and he's in reason of righteousness. Paul's witnessing to him in temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and said, go thy way at this time when I have a convenient season. I'll call for thee. You know what? You know what he did? He delayed. You know what? I'm going to tell you, convenient seasons don't come in life. You got to make the time. You got to take the time. You got to do it then. You can't wait for that convenient season because it won't come. He delayed. I talked to a lot of people on the streets, door knocking, passing out tracts. I talked to hundreds of them. Hundreds of them, Brother Ben. I talked to some this week said this. I say, are you saved? No, I'm not saved. I say, you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible. I said, you know what happens if you don't get saved? They say, yeah. Yeah, the Bible says I'll go to hell. I said, you believe that? Yeah. I say, you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins? All you have to do by faith is receive that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you believe that? Yeah. I said, you believe the Lord has saved you? You ask him right now? Yeah. I said, you want to get saved? Not today. Delay. You know what they're going to do? A lot of those people that I've talked to will delay and wake up in hell one day. You know what you do when you delay? You oppose yourselves. You don't oppose the Lord. You oppose yourselves. I got a friend of mine, Rex Harrison. Rex Harrison, one of the best singers I've ever heard in my life. Good friend of mine. Went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. He's got polio, walks with crutches, and great preacher, great singer. He is in Tennessee at Terry Dilbert's church over there and got sick, breathing problems. He's in his, Rex, I think he was 67. and having some breathing problems. They tried to get him to go to the doctor. He wouldn't go, Brother Dennis. They tried to get him to go to the emergency room. He wouldn't go. Finally got so bad, Brother Dilbert put him in the pickup truck and took him. And on the way, you know what his last words were? His last breath. You know what he said? I should have went to the hospital sooner. Delay, delay, delay. Delay. And people delay. And they oppose themselves. Look at Acts chapter 18 real quick. Acts chapter 18 that we were at. Look what it says over there in Acts 18. People go through the denial. They go through the denial. Then when they finally admit it, okay, I need to get saved or I need to get right with God, and I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. The Bible says, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Acts 18, verse 1. We saw it. Verse 4. Go down to verse 4. It says about Paul. It said he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And look what it said. And he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia, Paul pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, they knew the truth. The Bible said that they were persuaded. Paul persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. They were persuaded and they knew, but they opposed themselves. You know what that is? Delay, delay, delay. We keep putting off the obvious. We go through denial, then we go through delay. I'll give you one more thing real quick this morning. After we go down the lazy river of denial, we get stuck. We get stuck down the valley of delay. We just can't get out of that thing. That old treacherous and dangerous valley of delay. We just delay and delay and delay. And I want to tell you the next thing you'll hit when you oppose yourselves is deceit. You'll get deceived after a while. You'll get to the place after you go through denial and you go through delay. You'll get to the place in deceit and you'll think, well, I'm okay. There's not really a problem with it. I talked myself into it. And we deceive ourselves by opposing ourselves after a while. And that's what's wrong with a lot of churches today right now, God of God's people. They have deceived themselves and just wiped out any knowledge of God pretty much in their life. They come to church, but that's it. That's all there is. And they have deceived themselves and they have walked, they went down the river of denial. They went down the valley of delay and now they're sinking in the mud of deceit. And they just sit there and sink. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 6 in James chapter 1. When we oppose ourselves, we lose. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help you. I'm preaching myself, but I'm preaching you. You know what we do? We go through denial. We come up with excuses. You need to be reading that Bible every day, and some of you aren't. You're not. I could go through this building. I could walk through it and tell who's been in time in that Bible. I could just about tell you how much you're reading it. And most preachers could that's been here a while. And some of you aren't. And you're opposing yourself. You're not opposing God. You're not opposing me. You're the one losing the blessings of God. Not me. I'm good. But you're in denial. And then some of you know, hey, he's right. He's right. And one of these days on that mystical tomorrow, I'll start. I've been pushing it for 3 years. I've been putting out these Bible reading things. And some of you are still opposing yourselves. All it takes you is 15 minutes a day. You spend that much time brushing your teeth probably. Spend way more time eating if it was that important. There's deceit. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, when you oppose yourselves in that state of denial, you go through that delay, and eventually you'll just totally deceive yourselves. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7, it says this, be not deceived. Talking about you. Don't deceive yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You know what the word mock means? It means to imitate. When I was a kid, we'd say to our parents, they'd say, don't mock me. I'd say, don't mock me. Now stop it. We'd say, stop it. You know what that is? You know what when it says when you mock God is when you walk around carrying a Bible like you're reading that thing and you never pick it up. That's when you're imitating a Bible believer. And God said, you're mocking me, and be not deceived. It's going to catch up with you one day. That's mocking God. That's mocking God. That's what that means. You're imitating the real thing and you're playing games with God. And God said, don't you be deceived. You're deceiving yourself. Whatsoever you reap, you're going to sow. What he's saying. And you know what happens? You get deceived after a while. And you just fall down the quicksand of deceit and you just live there and sink. Look over James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I read this quote. It was about a drug addict on the internet. You see, we go through denial. And then you say, okay, preacher, I got the message. Then we go through delay and put it off and put it off and put it off. After a while, we forget. And after a while, we just sink down in deceit and deceive ourselves. And God no longer even hardly can talk to you at that time. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Look what it says. Deceiving your own selves. God said, I didn't write it. God said, if you go to church, and all you do is you hear that preaching, and you don't do anything with it, and you don't live it, all you're doing is deceiving your own selves. You know what happens? When you oppose yourself, you fall into that deceit after a while. Look at the next verse. For he be a hearer of the word, he's not a doer. He is like unto a man beholding the natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. You know what that is? That's denial. That's the Bible. It said he picks up the Bible, he reads it, and sees the problem. And then he says, I'm just going to go my own way. I'm going to deny it. Not going to deal with it. Look at the next part. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what that is? That's that delay. There's the denial, and then there's a delay that I mentioned, and he goes into that deceiving your own selves. I see it all the time. Well, I'm too tired to be in church. If you're too tired to sit in a pew, you need to check in the hospital today. You're dead. All you have to do is sit in a pew. People say, well, I'm too tired. I'm too busy. If you're that busy, something's wrong. You know what you do? You oppose yourselves. You don't oppose me. You oppose yourselves. And you know what happens? You delay, you deny, and you go into a state of deceit. And you'll just sink in that thing at some point. And you know what happened one day? Pray for brother so-and-so. They're back out in the world. I've seen it happen 100 times. 100 times. Be not deceived, God said. I didn't say it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You don't mock the Lord. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh, he's talking to a Christian, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying after a while, you'll deceive yourselves. You can talk yourself out of anything after a while. I tell you what, brethren, I want God to speak to me. I want to be right there with the Lord. If I sign something that I feel like me and God need to get along with, Brother Dennis, I'm going to get along with him. I'm not going to deny it by the grace of God. I'm not going to delay it. I'm going to try to get it done. Because you know what happens? I've seen it happen too many times. People deceive themselves. And God is not mocked. God is not mocked. After a while, people just sink. They'll sink in the sand of deceit. Brother Robert Mills used to come here. preaching one night and gave an illustration years ago. I'll never forget it. And it was a friend, talking about a friend of ours. A friend of ours, his name was Ben. And Ben's brother-in-law was messed up on alcohol, drunkard. And he was laying in a flop house in the south side. I'll never forget this, him telling me this in this message. And Brother Robert, he's an old converted gangster. He got saved and had him 48 accounts of grand larceny going upriver. He's a bad dude. He knows about sin. He said he went in this house, a little old flop house in the south side. They were going to see Ben's brother-in-law. And he's laying in there. And Brother Robert said he walked in that old flop house in that south side. And he said he walked in there and he said, I've seen sin and I've seen things, but I've never seen anything like this in my life. He said inside that house was a bunch of drunks and drug addicts and people. And he said they tore open the floor of the house, and that was their bathroom. That's where they all went and used the bathroom, right there in this big hole. He said you could smell it. It stunk so bad as soon as you came in. He said somehow they rigged up a little heater. It was cold winter that night, and they rigged up one of these little heaters from somewhere, had a cord in there, and he said that heater would only flash on and off every once in a while. It'd come on for a few minutes and go off. And he said, you walked in there, and that heater would be flashing in that light. And he said, there were people all over the place. He said, there was one lady in a corner over there shaking her eyes this big. He said, it looked like she was out of her mind. He said, it was the closest thing to hell I've ever seen. He said, that light's flashing. And he said, they went over there to Brother Ben's brother-in-law. His name was Jim. And he's laying on a little, the corner over there, a little, some rags and stuff, and he's laying there. Jim, and he said, hey, Jim. He said, it's me and your brother-in-law. He said, I've come here to help you. We want to help you. We want to take you out of here. And he said, Brother Robert said, a little man had a pack of Winston cigarettes and a bottle of cheap wine laying right there by him. And they tried to get him to leave. And he said, that little guy, he said, I'm okay. I'm okay. Brother Robert said he could hardly speak. His throat was so eaten out with alcohol. I'm okay. And they said, Jim, let us take you out. We'll clean you up and we'll bring you back. He said, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Denial. Denial. Delay. Deceit. I'm okay. I'll be okay. Brother Robert said they begged and pleaded with that guy to let him help him. He wouldn't let him. He said 2 days later, the fireman went in there and took his old corpse out where he died. I've seen a lot of Christians do that, Brother Dennis, spiritually. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're not okay. I'm all right. You're not all right. You need to get some things right. I know it's a hard message, but I'm trying to help you this morning because some of you are opposing yourselves. You go in denial. You go to lay, and you can go to that deceit. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a point if you keep going and pushing Lord and pushing Lord and mocking God, you're going to reap what you sow. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. This morning, I asked my wife to come play.